Welcome to Deliverability Defined. My name's Alyssa.
And I'm Melissa.
Thanks for listening. So today we are going to talk about really leaning into kind of a customer experience lens when you think about your email strategy. Ooh, maybe before we get into this, Melissa, do you have like a customer experience story, either positive or negative, that would be fun to talk about? I just put you on the spot, so it's okay if you don't.
That's funny because I was going to ask you if there was like content. I was like trying to think of a question to ask you. I was like, is there a content creator that you really like love their content and feel like they do a really good job capturing your attention, or you're just really interested in what they do? I think like maybe not customer experience, but I'm thinking I was going into this like with the lens of a creator, more in like our kind of niche. And I think that people who respond every once in a while to whether it's emails or maybe it's a DM on Instagram or what, like I think people who like interact with their audience themselves, it doesn't have to be all the time and it doesn't have to be every time, but I think those people gain some respect from me.
Yeah.
When I see that.
I love that. Yeah. Building trust, building relationship with their audience, and something they don't necessarily have to do, but it works for them.
Yeah. So that's not really a customer experience thing, but more in our niche, I guess it is.
Yeah. I love that. I was just doing research for this episode. And so one top of mind that we're going to get into more is James Clear's strategy with his email list. He has like one of the most successful newsletters. And I was just looking into like how he serves his subscribers. And I think it's so subscriber focused. It's not about like
him,
here's my book, here's this. It's like, how can I help you with your habits, which is what people want from him, you know, that's what they go to him for. And I think he is really locked into who his audience is and what they want and need. And he gives them that every week in the newsletter so well. And we're going to talk all about that today and how you can do that with your own email strategy and just get kind of laser focused on who is that target subscriber, what do they need and want from you, and how can you approach every email you send from that aspect.
I think this will be a fun episode.
Oh, nice.
I'm excited.
Fun. So I think the first step in this process, we're going to kind of take you through like almost an exercise, which is fun, like a brainstorming exercise. So if you're driving, obviously you can't take notes, but if you're not, it might be helpful to jot some things down. But I think the first step in this process is to get a really clear idea of who your target reader is, and not in a broad sense of like a bucket, but I mean, like try and create a human in your mind, because I think the clearer you can get, you can think about this person that you've created every time you write an email. You can write it to them specifically. And maybe they are a real human that you know, or maybe it's just someone you're making up in your head. But I think having that level of clarity is really helpful in serving your audience well.
I love that. I'm sitting here thinking about like all of the accounts I look through every single day for my job and all of the lists I look through every day of just email addresses. And it's funny because I know this like advice because I'm giving this to people all the time as advice. But when I turn my brain off from thinking about like almost like this marketing lens of deliverability, I am going through people's accounts and just looking at email addresses.
Right.
And in that moment, I forget that those are actual people because that's not like what I'm doing in the moment. And so, yeah, I'm just sitting here thinking about like how interesting it would be to like go into your list and pick someone and see what emails they've opened. Like don't use, you know, like your like tags and all of that. Like actually like go into their subscriber profile and like what emails have they opened. And like sometimes they have like a Gravatar picture and you can be like, what is this person's life like?
Yeah. Especially if they're a really engaged subscriber.
Right.
Or maybe they purchased things from you. That's helpful because they are your target audience. And so figuring out like, okay, who is this person and how can I craft like a persona around
serve them?
Yeah. And I think that experience you're talking about, honestly, based on the conversations we are having all the time, like I think a lot of people are thinking about their email list that way. They're thinking about just the email list as a bunch of random email addresses, and they're thinking about their goals. So they're thinking, okay, I have this new podcast episode out. I need to tell people about it. I want more downloads. I want more views, whatever. I want more purchases on my book. And that's the lens they're seeing it from. And then they just see, oh, I have this email list as an asset. I'm going to blast it out to the email list and hope that it goes well.
Right.
But what we're saying is like, that is not the best strategy because subscribers can feel that. They're not going to feel connected to you, especially when it's coming from your goals and what you want, it's going to be a much better strategy to reverse this way of thinking and get so laser focused on how you can serve your audience. And then you're going to find way more success because you're going to be serving people and giving them what they need.
Right.
So when thinking about this target person, like get so specific, again, it might not be a real person, but what is their job? How old are they? What are their interests? What are their biggest challenges? Going through these quickly. But if you need to take notes on that, you can pause us. And another thing I wanted to call out is it's helpful to know, is there some sort of like temporary nature to their challenges, or are they evergreen? So one example I thought of in my own life is almost anything parenting related.
Yeah.
But one thing was like solid starts. It's very popular for when you're introducing solid food to your baby, which is a very scary time. They're like gagging on everything. And so I like had the app. It was like a purchased app. I was on their Instagram. You know, I was looking at that all the time. I haven't thought about that thing in a long time, like at least 6 months.
Right.
And I'm going to be thinking about it again, but it's like helpful probably for whoever's running that email account to know.
It's a stage.
Exactly. This person will be engaged for a short amount of time.
Yeah.
They might come back and I either need to morph to meet their new challenges or I need to know that it's time to say goodbye and that's totally fine.
Yep. I love that. We've also talked about in the past, I think we've brought up like weddings.
Yeah.
That's a
great example.
Huge industry, but it is so short-lived.
And hopefully you don't need it again.
And hopefully you don't need it again. Yeah. Maybe you're helping a friend. You know, but yeah, hopefully you don't need it again. So yeah, it's like it's good to think about like what is the problem you're trying to help people solve? Is it an ongoing problem? Are there different stages to it? Is that even the direction you want to take your business? Like kind of in your example, Alyssa, like if this person is just really laser focused on this one stage of parenting, they may not want to go into other stages of parenting. It might just be this and that's fine. And that's really helpful to you as a creator to know that.
Yeah. Because it changes your strategy. Then you probably get a lot more laser focused on new subscriber acquisition because you're needing to constantly bring in new people because there are going to be people leaving. But if it's someone like a James Clear who it's like, you can help people with habits for the rest of their lives. Like we're never going to probably become experts in that. We always need some help and support. He can really work on nurturing his existing list. I'm sure he'll always be growing it like crazy too. But he can also be focused on like how to keep existing subscribers engaged versus more focused on that audience collection.
Right.
Yeah. So take a second and try to think about that. Like you can, I think I might have said this, you can give them a name. You can try to picture them in your head, but that is your person. That is your target ideal subscriber. And from here on out, when you're thinking about your email strategy, I want you to think about that person. Keep them in mind. And the next step is to have a really, really clear vision for how you can provide value to them. What does this person need from you? What are they looking for you to meet? And one thing I think would be a good example is to figure out what is your value proposition, which I Googled to make sure I have a good definition for you. We say it all the time at ConvertKit, but a value proposition is a concise statement that communicates the unique benefits you offer to your target subscribers. And you can have that value proposition in your head while you're writing emails to make sure you're meeting it, or you can also just say it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So like with Deliverability Defined, our podcast, we help you reach the inbox of your subscribers and stay out of the spam folder. We could start saying that in every episode just to reinforce our value proposition and tell you why you're listening, what you're going to get out of this episode. So that's something you can take with you in your email strategy. Either keep it in the back of your head or just say it in every single email. It can be like a tagline almost. Next is think about how this target subscriber could find you and then how they'll get onto your email list. So if you're thinking about this person that we've created in our head, where does that person hang out on the internet? Are they on Instagram all the time? Are they on LinkedIn? You know, super business savvy. Are they on Twitter? I still can't call it X.
Yeah.
Are they on TikTok, et cetera? Because that's all going to look different. Mm-hmm. So once you determine the main places they hang out, craft a strategy for reaching them there and converting them to a newsletter subscriber. Do you want to tell us about the Instagram strategy that's really popular right now?
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say too, I think this particular step is why it's so helpful to kind of create that initial clear idea of who the person is, because it's really easy to like think high level and not like have time to reflect on the audience that you're serving. So I'll get into the Instagram example, but something that I was just thinking about the other day was like, I have been trying to do more like mocktails recently, and they're typically very boring. Like, this came up because one of my best friends was pregnant and she was so sick of going out to eat and only being offered like ginger beer mocktails, because that's like seems to be just easy for people to do those. So a while ago, I started looking at mocktails for her so that we could make those together. And it's hard to find them, but one place I've found that's really helpful is Pinterest. And so I have found like all these creators through Pinterest that I hadn't even really like thought about before. And I feel like the search like function in Pinterest is easy for certain kinds of, to find certain kinds of creators. Another one is like home decor and design.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I have a really hard time finding people I want to follow on Instagram when it comes to home design. And I have a very like old house. And so it's tricky for me because a lot of influencers online are doing like new builds and like really cool things that I just don't have. I don't have those things. So I recently found an influencer or a creator who has an old house like mine and has some really great like tips and ideas. And I was so excited to find her because I don't feel like I see anyone's house that looks like mine.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And it was, I found her on Pinterest, and I don't spend that much time on Pinterest. I kind of just every once in a while will be on there. And so like she definitely knows who her audience is. She knows it's someone who probably has an older house with smaller rooms. Like she even calls that out on her Instagram. She's like,
that is so smart.
I know. And it totally sold me. I was like, okay, with anything you have going on in your house, I'm going to copy, because like I never see anyone whose house looks like mine. It's like an old 50s rambler with low ceilings and small rooms, you know, like not an ensuite bathroom in the master bedroom, like all these things that like most people have in like newer builds. And she calls it out in her Instagram profile and says, if you're here, you found me because you have this kind of house.
Yeah, like she knows she's not talking to people with new builds.
Right.
You know, she's like, I know who my audience is and I'm going to keep speaking to that person.
Yeah.
I love that.
It was really cool. And it's similar for like the mocktail thing too. Like I feel like, you know, there's kind of this culture of like people who, whether you're like you have a reason or not, like there's a lot of, I think they're calling it sober curious is like the term.
I've heard that.
And so those people also know who their audience is. Like they're not trying to be someone else. And I think those are two good examples of like people who have really like dialed it in. And then they have found where those people hang out and they have been able to capture their audiences that way, which is just cool. It's cool.
So smart.
Yeah.
I love that. I know we've said it in other podcasts before, but there's this new Instagram strategy that is working really well for Melissa and I. Do you want to tell us about it?
Sure. Yeah. So I always feel like whenever I talk about my shopping, it feels very like a shallow hobby.
Whatever makes you happy.
Okay. I have always loved like design and clothes. And it's, as I've gotten older, it's one of those things where like, I don't have this, the world has changed a lot. You used to go to the mall, you could go to a store and be like, oh, this is what's in style. And you could just like pick some pieces up.
That was my glory days.
Right?
I miss that so much.
Oh my gosh, me too.
Because I don't know how to shop anymore.
The day that I felt like department stores were going downhill was like a really hard thing for me to accept, because I want to live in like the 90s department Christmas era forever.
I used to be so stylish because I would just pick out whatever was like on the mannequin or in the store and that was fine. And now I have no idea what I'm doing.
It's not the case.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a tangent into like why I love this strategy on Instagram. But there's a particular lifestyle creator that I follow who I absolutely love. And it's because she is so good at creating outfits around event, like specific reasons why she wears them. So like, she'll be like, I'm like, one thing that a lot of people probably don't think about is going on a retreat with your work. So like, we do a couple retreats twice a year. And it's hard to figure out what kind of outfits to bring for that.
It's so hard.
Because it's like a professional setting, but sometimes you're at the beach.
Yeah.
And those two things don't normally intersect for most people. So I have a difficult time figuring that out. And I love her because she's really good at talking about stuff like that on her Instagram, or she has a newsletter that I love. And the way that her newsletter is broken down is like so helpful and like easy to shop and easy to get ideas from. But one strategy she's been using more often is she'll post an outfit and she'll be like out somewhere and it's adorable. And then she'll say, and if you want the links to the outfit, comment shop in the comment section. And guess who does it every time? Me. Because I have to know. And sometimes I just want to know, like, is this a high-priced outfit? Is this a lower-priced outfit? Like, where I'm just, like, interested in general to know. And so, yeah, it's really easy to get engagement when you are asking for people to comment and then they get something from you.
Yeah. So if your target person, you're like, okay, Instagram is probably where they're hanging out. They're like Alyssa and Melissa, and that's where they spend all their time. Then this might be a really good strategy for you. And you can say like comment, blah, blah, blah to receive my recipe or something. And then whenever they get a DM from you, it's them signing up for your email list to get that item. So that's a really great way to get email addresses. Yeah. Instagram is such a cool, like, it's really interesting. Even my husband has started using it for his music producing business and makes reels all the time. And he is growing so fast. Like, his email list is growing so fast. So definitely.
That's awesome.
Yeah. If Instagram is a place where your target person is, mm-hmm. reels, I think, is the biggest source of growth. So yeah, check that out.
Which makes me kind of sad because I miss pictures sometimes.
Me too.
I know.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Especially for outfits.
Yes.
And home decor.
Homes. The homes are killing me because
me
people just do a quick little swipe around the room. And I'm like, I need to see the details. I want to know about the cabinets. I want to know about everything. And I can't. Oh.
What makes me really upset, and I feel bad, we've been on a lot of tangents lately, but this, I have to say this, and maybe this will be helpful for people. If you have, this is actually, this could just sell my, like, ConvertKit. But like, if you have a lot of engagement on TikTok and a lot of engagement on Instagram because of the reels that you do, you are, and you don't have a newsletter and you don't have a website, you are missing out. Like, I'm so upset because I just gave this amazing example of this person with this house that's similar to mine. Guess what? She doesn't have a website.
Oh, yeah.
And she doesn't have a newsletter.
And what happens if her Instagram gets hacked, which happens all the time?
Or, yeah, it just, there's so many. And also, like, I want more.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I want more. Like, I'm a subscriber. I would be a subscriber.
Mm-hmm.
And I want more. And there's no way for her to give that to people who are interested in it. Just so every, I don't know.
She doesn't have your information. She doesn't own her audience at all.
No.
Sad.
And I just signed up to her account. So I don't even remember. Like, I just signed up to follow her on Instagram. I signed up for her account. See, I can't even, like, oh, email and social media. I don't remember her name.
Yeah, it's so hard.
So like creating that like brand awareness with someone when they find you and then they don't see maybe like the way the algorithm is, they don't see you in social media anymore. Like I have to go figure out where she's at.
Right.
I don't know. I could just talk about this forever.
I know. Luckily, hopefully if you're listening to this podcast, you're bought in on email so we don't have to convince you, but it's still interesting. I know.
Look at me. I'm trying to like go, I'm talking to the wrong audience. This is a bad example.
Oh, wow, Melissa. Think about the target audience. They're listening to Deliverability Defined. Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Okay. So now that you've determined like where they are, what kind of strategy are you going to use for them to join your email list. One thing to consider is a lead magnet. Instead of just saying, join my email list, that call to action typically doesn't work as well. It can work sometimes for a newsletter if you have a really clear value proposition. And it's something like, you know, join my newsletter where every week I send you, you know, the top five recipes of the week or whatever it is.
Financial advice that, you know, is specific.
Right. But for a lot of people, even James Clear, which we're going to get into, lead magnets are an amazing way to actually gain the subscribers initially. So to use him as an example, I just went to his website before this, and the two ways on his homepage of his website to join his email list are actually lead magnets, where it doesn't say, you know, join my email list. It says, enter your email address to receive the first chapter of Atomic Habits for free. That's the first lead magnet he has, which is a huge one. You can go ahead and get a free chapter of the book if you are thinking about buying it. And then the second one is to sign up for a 30 Days to Better Habits email course, which is huge. I'm assuming if you're on his website, you're interested in habits. And so to get that course is probably, you know, a huge deal. So think about what you can provide people other than just join my email list. It could be some kind of downloadable, some sort of PDF, some sort of email course. I love email courses. We actually are going to have a whole episode on it in a few weeks with a guest that we haven't even told you about yet, Melissa.
Oh, exciting.
It's going to be amazing. I can't wait. But yeah, like try and get creative. Think again about that target person, their challenges, the value you're providing to them. What do they need from you? And then use that as a lead magnet. Talk about that lead magnet on the social media platform where they're hanging out, and then they'll get on your email list.
Yeah. I think this is like, this is something that sometimes feels like you have to put the work in on the front end. Like you have to give yourself the space and the time to like think about this stuff. This is not always going to just come to you right away, especially when you're like in the weeds all the time. If you're a business owner and you don't have like a, you know, a large group of people working for you and like doing a lot of tasks that you have to do, like I'm sure it's sometimes overwhelming to like give yourself space to sit down and think about all of this. But I feel like just in the job that we're both in, like we see examples of success and examples of people who are struggling and examples of people who are not doing it well. And the people who are doing it really well, I think, have given themselves the space to sit down and think through all of these prompts. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not even about you being the one to come up with the idea. Sometimes it is literally looking at the data in your account or the response, the reply that you got from that one subscriber, and using that to sort of like sit with and think about.
Right. Yeah.
So
it's so important.
So if you're sitting here thinking, oh my gosh, this is like a lot, I think it's a lot because we don't give ourselves the time to sit down and like journal about it or talk about it. Or a lot of times I think, you know, I see in this like industry, people are like, if you will, like bootstrapping and they're trying to just get stuff done. And sometimes just getting stuff done doesn't actually get you to the destination that you want.
Right.
And it's just a good reminder of like, is the thing you're doing today going to influence the goal you want to get to in a year?
Right.
And so, yeah, taking the time to think through who is your target, who do you want your target audience to be, mm-hmm. too?
Yeah.
And do you have that? Like, are you locked and loaded, ready to like serve that audience?
Yeah. And similar to what you said with your example, who isn't your target audience?
Yeah.
Like if you know you're for people with, you know,
I don't need to sell you all on delivery or on email. You're all right.
I was thinking about I was thinking about the creator. That's so funny.
Yeah. I'm just
don't be like Melissa.
Just shut up, Melissa.
No, that was funny. But yeah, it is helpful to get clarity. Like who are you for? And also who are you not for? And that's okay.
Right.
Because if you're like me, I try to be everything for everyone. Miss people pleaser here.
Yep, same.
And so like sometimes when we sit down to record, I'm like, oh, but I know there are five people who listen to this that are deliverability experts and this is going to be way too easy for them. It's like, who cares? This isn't for them.
Right.
So it's helpful to get that clarity too. But like you were saying, I think a lot of people that we work with who are creators wear so many hats in their business. Mm-hmm. They have to be operators so often and they are just, they're so close to the work. They're in the weeds. They're doing so many things and they're just thinking, okay, I have this goal. I need to sell this book. I have an email list. I'm going to send an email. But it's like, allow yourself, give yourself permission to take at least an hour and zoom up, go up higher in altitude, wear that CEO hat and think strategically about the business and really think about your audience in this way and your strategy in this way. And I know it can feel like I have so many things to do. I can't do this, but this will actually help you work more efficiently, maybe work less, but work smarter, you know, that saying they say.
It feels like, and just looking at this also, if you're like talking about like higher level, like all of this is also contributing to good deliverability.
Yes. Yeah.
You're doing the work up front. Like you're giving yourself time to think about all this stuff. And it's not just helping you serve the audience you want to serve. It's helping you have amazing engagement and good deliverability. So instead of like putting your head in the sand and just trying to get things done and then fixing individual problems with Band-Aids, you are doing all this work up front and hopefully avoiding all of the Band-Aid fixes in the long run.
Such a good point. Hopefully you won't have to reach out to me and Melissa with domain reputation issues because you're serving your audience so well. They're opening your emails. They're responding to your emails. They're clicking your emails. You're good to go.
They're purchasing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then when you do run into an issue, I think this is where it gets tricky. So then when you do run into a deliverability issue, you have that's not related to poor what we're talking about right now, like your audience isn't engaged. If you have the audience engagement and there are other things that can affect deliverability. Then you fix those things and you already have the engagement and you're like back on track quickly.
So true.
So in general, you're just doing yourself like so many favors by allowing yourself to sit down and like think through all of these prompts and making sure that you're doing, and it doesn't have to be all at once. It doesn't have to be like, oh, I'm going to change my entire business. It can just be small things here and there that you're paying attention to, really, because I think a lot of people have this data and they just don't necessarily like sit down and pay attention to it and give themselves time to think about what's something small that I can do differently that will push me towards serving my audience better. What's that one call to action or that one lead magnet that I don't have right now that could make a huge difference in someone's life?
Right.
So it doesn't have to be like a million changes at once. It's just that,
yeah,
giving yourself time to think about it.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing to note, you know, we've only gotten so far as to like, okay, someone, there's lead magnets, this target subscriber signs up to your list. It doesn't stop there. But I think having this lens makes your life a lot easier because now with every single email you send, instead of it coming from your goals, your, you know, what you want to get out of it, you're just blasting out emails whenever you feel like I need to make more sales or whatever.
Right.
When you sit down to write an email, you have a human you're writing to in your head. You're like, okay, Sarah, she has this home. She, you know, she has these needs.
Yeah.
What does she want to hear from me?
Right.
How often does she want to hear from me? Like, what is she probably struggling with right now? What have I learned lately that she could benefit from? So you're not just pulling things out of thin air. You're talking to a person. You have your value proposition. Like, you can put both of these things next to your desk, the persona, the value proposition. And with those two things in mind, hopefully it will help you write your emails easier because you'll have such a clear focus on who you're writing to, mm-hmm. who you're not writing to, and why they need you to be sending them emails.
I think a lot of people starting out in the creator space have ideas. They have really good ideas. Their main objective is to build a list, and they don't always think much beyond the list collection or like,
right.
have like subscribers finding them. And then it's like, okay, so now you have a list of 5,000 people. What are you doing?
What are you going to do? Yeah.
And I think that's like where if you're putting some thought into this, like we know people at ConvertKit who have quote unquote smaller lists and they are so, so freaking successful. And it's not about the list size. It's because they knew what they wanted to serve. Like they figured out what their audience needed and they put all of that into place ahead of time. So that when they started gaining, you know, more and more subscribers, they didn't have to like scramble and say, oh my gosh, I need to create like a sequence that has a course in it. Or they already did that ahead of time. And so now, even though their list is on the smaller side in comparison to maybe a James Clear list, they're still so successful because they knew what the goal was.
Yes. So good. We actually have a guest coming on, another guest in a couple weeks that's going to talk to us about this, and it's going to be so helpful. So we're just queuing it up for all the future episodes.
Yeah, perfect.
Well, I thought this was
awesome.
Really fun. I hope it was helpful to you all. Maybe a little bit different, a little exercise. Mm-hmm. If you created a persona or a value proposition, we would love to hear them. That would be so fun.
That would be fun.
Feel free to email either one of us. Our emails are our first name at ConvertKit.com. So Alyssa@ConvertKit.com.
Yes.
Alyssa@ConvertKit.com.
We've had a lot of technical talk lately, a lot. Yeah. And so this has been fun to talk about something a little more on like the creative, not so technical side of things.
Yeah. As we were talking about it, I was like, this would be actually so fun to do in a group.
Yeah.
Like a small group, a mastermind, something.
Yeah.
Where you like do this activity and then come around together and talk about the personas and get feedback from other people. Because yeah. I feel like sometimes you can see it so much more clearly in someone else's business. You can be like, mm-hmm. oh, here's the exact email course you need to create and it's going to be amazing. And it's harder to see it for yourself. So
for sure.
Maybe also like get a group of friends you've trust together and do this. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good time with a mocktail, maybe.
There you go.
Or a cocktail, whatever you want.
Or a cocktail. Yeah. Love it.
I'm going to go get ice cream.
Please do that.
So,
yeah, I'm going to go outside after this because it's sunny. Guess what? It's not sunny. Wait 5 minutes and it'll change. I know. That's okay.
Sorry.
I hope you enjoy your ice cream.
Thank you. I will. I can't wait.
And the weather.
I am going to. Thank you. I hope your weather stays good.
This weekend, fingers crossed. It looks like it's going to be amazing. And I need this this weekend. So
I believe it'll happen.
Hopefully it stays that way. It always seems, it never fails that it always seems to be like it's going to be sunny on a weekend and then it always happens on a Monday. It's just so disappointing every time.
That's so sad.
I know. So hopefully it'll happen this weekend.
I believe it will. It'll happen. And thank you all for listening. Hope you have a great rest of your week. Hope you have a nice weekend, a sunny weekend, just like Melissa.
I hope so. Yes. Yes. And we'll see you next time.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Deliverability Defined.
Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening. And if you have time, please leave us a review.
You can find a resource guide for today's show at convertkit.com/deliverability, where we outline all of the information you need to know from today's episode.
If you have a question or topic you want us to cover, let us know within the ConvertKit community or at convertkit.com/deliverability.
We'll see you next week.